If you say, I already know about the local church, I already know what the Bible teaches about it, then I'll ask you again, could you teach it to somebody you lead to the Lord? Because if you lead somebody to the Lord, they do need to know how important church is. Especially in this day and age where everybody's taught, oh, you can attend the radio, you can attend the internet, you can attend roadside Baptist church, pull your car over, put in a preaching CD, and then you had church. That's not church. We live in a weird day where people are calling any gathering a church. There's a lot of confusion about it. So, let's start with the basics. Matthew 16, look at verse number 15. Ready? He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So Jesus is talking to his disciples. And before this question, he says, who do they say I am? Some say Elijah, Jeremiah. Some say, John the Baptist risen from the dead or something like that. And then Jesus asked this question to the 12 disciples. He said, but who am I to you? There's one thing what they're saying about me, but who am I to you? And look at the answer God records in his word there at verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does Christ mean? Jesus means Savior. Christ means the anointed one, Messiah, God in the flesh. That means Savior is Jesus, but Jesus Christ is the Savior who is God in the flesh. Who did what? Died for you. He created you, you wronged him, and then he died for you. And Jesus said, watch what he says about that statement. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, look at the next statement. Look at verse number 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Stop. Peter just confessed the Lord Jesus as Christ, the Messiah, the one who would die. That is basically a salvation statement. If you believe that and trust in that, then God says that is what's required for salvation. And then Jesus in verse 17 says, God revealed that to you. Anytime somebody gets saved, the devil blinds their minds of the gospel, of the light of the glorious gospel, 1 Corinthians 4:4. The devil is blinding their, that's how come people don't get saved. So when the blinders are lifted and someone is allowed to see through the Holy Spirit of God and conviction, Jesus Christ is the only way you get to heaven. That's what Jesus just thanked the Father for. Lord, I thank you that he confessed me as the Christ, the Son, your Son. And Lord, in other words, salvation is a revelation. That's not deep. When you got saved, it's because God showed you you were a sinner and he was your only way to heaven. And he did it. And you say, oh, everybody knows that. Everybody doesn't know that. I've given gospel tracts. I've witnessed to people that said, no, I don't want that. Really? Oh, yeah, my religion will get me to heaven. My beads will get me to heaven. My good life will get me to heaven. No, everybody doesn't believe that. That is not common. You got saved because God revealed it to you. Now, knowing the salvation statement in verse number 16, watch this. Look at verse number 18. I think everybody in here, hopefully after a Sunday school class like this, you could explain this verse to somebody. Okay? You should be able to explain this. But look, praise God, your King James Bible says this. Verse number 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Let's break verse number 18 down into two segments. The first segment says this. Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, thou art Peter. And when you look up the word Peter, it means little stone, little pebble. Thou art Peter, the little stone, but upon this rock. You can go to Isaiah, you can go to 1 Peter. Jesus is the cornerstone, right? He is the rock of offense. That's what the Savior is. Jesus is the cornerstone. What is a cornerstone in a building? It's the reference point. They lay the cornerstone and then all the walls in the building are referenced off of that cornerstone. In other words, is it in line? Is it plumb? Are we square? Jesus is the cornerstone. Now watch this. Thou art Peter, little rock, But upon this foundation stone, upon this bedrock, upon this cornerstone, I will build my church. You just confessed me in verse 16 as the Christ. And every what is the requirement for church membership? You got to be saved. We don't hold a hereditary membership. In other words, because your parents were raised in the church, you're automatically a member. That's called hereditary membership. We don't do that. You have to be saved. You have to make a choice. Now, let me use an illustration. When Brother and Mrs. Doggett joined the church, their whole family joined the church. We don't go, well, your kids aren't, you know, the little ones aren't saved yet, so they can't join. But that's, don't take that too far. You understand? But their smaller children one day will get saved. And then they'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism. All I'm trying to tell you is this. Jesus said, everyone who confesses me as the Christ, the Son of the living God, God says, upon that confession of who I am, I will build my church. And it's Jesus' job to build the church. Wonderful statement. Now, I hope you understand, in other words, we live in a Catholic area. What do the Catholics teach? The Catholics teach, and it's wrong, it's what happens when lost people read the Bible. But they teach, you're Peter, and on Peter I'm going to build my church, and Peter is the first pope. Pope's nowhere found in your Bible. Second of all, that is not what that verse is saying. Jesus is not looking at Peter and saying, on you I'm going to build my church. He says, on me I'm going to build my church. Jesus is the foundation stone. Now that we understand the first part, now let's get into the meat of the second part of the verse. Ready? Watch this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I really hope this morning you could take that verse in your Bible and go think about it. But watch this. I think this is the third time I've taught on this verse as pastor here. But I used to think of the gates, you know, you got hinges. We think of gates this way, a door with hinges. But that is not how the Bible uses the word gates. If you look up the word gate in the Bible and the law of first mention, how does God use it the first time? Do you all remember Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot was a governor in that vile city and he sat in the gate. In the book of Ruth, Boaz sat in the gate. What does that mean? Watch this. A city with walls did not have a gate over here and a gate over here and a gate. You had one gate in a walled city. That's so you could monitor the commerce and the business. You wanted to know who was coming into your city. So all of the authorities would sit in the gate of that city. Your mayor, I know they didn't have mayors back then, but humor me, okay? The mayor, the treasurer, the head of commerce, all that. They wanted to see who was coming into the city and who was leaving. So in a walled city, it could be a huge city, there was one way in and one way out. The authorities sat in the gate, and that is how your King James Bible uses that word. If I apply that to the verse we just read, then watch. Look at the last part of verse number 18 one more time. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, the church. Then watch closely. If I could teach you anything about the importance of church, this is probably one of the most important. Are you ready? The gates of hell, or the authorities, or the demons of hell, cannot prevail against the church. When a Christian makes church important in their life and a priority, not just, we'll go if there's nothing good on TV, or, you know, I haven't been to church in a couple of months, tired of laying on the couch and scratching, so I'll go. Okay? Church, when you make church a priority, and I'm talking a good Bible preaching, fundamental, when you make that church a priority, you gain protection in your life against demons. And you say, you're taking this too far. Okay, you understand Matthew 16, 18. Very important verse. Look at Acts 20. Look at Acts 20. Go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go in your Bible to Acts and look at verse number 20. Then look at verse number 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Very important. Very important. Watch this. Acts 20, verse 28. Ready? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Watch this. To feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. There was a lot that took place on the cross. Jesus died for your sins. But I don't go too far when I say this. There was more happening on the cross than just Jesus purchasing your salvation. He was purchasing the spiritual protection you get when you make church a priority in your life. You say, well, explain it fully. I don't know. I do know this. Jesus died for the local church. He shed his blood. God, on the cross, shed his blood for the church. That's why when people say, well, I put the importance on salvation, but I don't put the importance on church because God doesn't... I've heard so many weird statements in talking to people about church. Well, church, God doesn't emphasize church. God, Jesus died for the church. What do you mean he doesn't emphasize the church? The local New Testament Baptist church is vital to every Christian. And watch this. I'm trying to show you scripturally in your Bible. See, in a day and age where we live, where internet is everything, TV is everything, you won't hear this anywhere but in a local New Testament church. Because if you're a TV evangelist, if you tell people to attend church, it affects your ratings. If you're on the internet, you don't tell people, attend your local New Testament church. You want them attending yours. You say, well, that's kind of self-serving and aggrandizing. Yes, you're right. They have an agenda, and it is not to teach you the Bible. It is so that their ratings can go up. But isn't it funny? None of those TV preachers, none of those internet churches, none of them will do your funeral. None of them will marry your kids. They won't come and visit you in the hospital. But you're supposed to put your loyalty to them over the local New Testament church. And that, to me, is kooky. Okay, do you like that word? It's kooky. It's nuts. We live in a weird day. Okay, and no. TV is what? About 70 years old? Right? Came out in the 40s, then really started getting popular in the 50s. Before that, radio was a little bit. So just the past couple hundred years, nobody would argue to what I just showed you. But we live in a day now where there's a lot bombarding it. No, you coming to church this morning, the hassle you went through to get up and get dressed and push yourself out the door when it was raining, which, let's face it, if there was a morning to sleep in, this morning was it. Right? Who doesn't like sleeping or taking a nap on a rainy day? You know what I mean? Think I'll go up in the attic and listen to the raindrops hit the roof. Let's face it, if there was a morning to sleep in, this was the morning. But the hassle you went through to get here, God sees that, and you gain protection in your life. And I feel sorry for people that don't put church as a priority. It's just kind of haphazard. They're literally hit and miss. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I'm going to give you, Sunday school lesson there, I put all of this that's up here, I put in your lesson. The definition of a church. What is a church? If you could just get the Bible definition of a church, it will take you miles. Okay? What does the word church mean in your Bible? It means a called out assembly. That's why people who say, well, we had a great Bible study at our home. I'm glad you had a Bible study, and I can think of worse things to do. Beat stealing hubcaps, okay? But I'm amazed at what people call a church. Well, it was such a sweet time. There's five of us in the living room, and we prayed and read the Bible together. Okay, you read a Bible, and you had a Bible study, but you don't call it church. You only have a church if, one, you have a baptistry to baptize converts, for people who get saved, because that's you only do that in a church. It's not your bathtub. Amen. If you have a baptistry and a pastor, if you don't have those, you don't have a church. How can you observe the ordinances that were given tonight? We're going to observe the Lord's Supper. How can you observe the... You can't, you're not supposed to observe the ordinances. I know I was raised in an American Baptist church, real liberal. And I remember we'd observe the Lord's Supper at camp, you know, because it was a great time with teenagers crying around the fire, you know, pass the bread, and they were after the emotional experience. Ordinances weren't given to a camp. They weren't given to a Bible study. They were given to the local New Testament church. That's why a church baptizes converts. And then watch this. Tonight, once every 3 months, we observe the other ordinance, the Lord's Supper, in the church. In the church. Because it was given to the church. A church is a called out assembly. That means you're called out of the world to assemble as believers. To assemble as believers. You left your house this morning. And I'm trying not to go too fast this morning, but there's only two systems in the world. In your Bible. You are either in the world or you're in the church. So when you're in the world, I know this is common sense, but when you're in the world, you're not in the church. And if you bring the world's, that's why churches that say, you know, all these seeker-sensitive places, and they'll say, we're an intermediate place for people who aren't used to going to church. So they got the rock and roll in there, and they got it, the smoke coming from the stage, and it looks like a rock concert. Well, we're, and that's what they call it. We're the intermediate. We're seeker-sensitive. All that garbage. They customize the church to make a worldly person feel comfortable, and the church is not for the world. Especially for our Sunday school class, that's why I read the Bible at the start of the service. Well, you ought to start with a song. I'm all for a song. I love singing. What's he reading the Bible for? It's not for lost people. It's for saved people. That service that we'll do this morning, everything that I pray over and how we work the service, it is so a saved person can... It's not so you can have a supernatural experience. It is designed for you. It's not designed for somebody that was sleeping with somebody last night out of wedlock and doing drugs and then to stumble in. They ought to feel welcome in our church. Amen? Every visitor ought to feel welcome. But if they're lost this morning and don't know Jesus as their Savior, I'm not trying to make them feel comfortable. Do you understand? I would hate for somebody to come to our church one time and be lost and not know Jesus as their Savior, and to go all the way through, and our church is friendly, have your hand shaken, all of that, but leave comfortable and never convicted of sin, never seeing the need for a Savior. Are you kidding me? I don't want that type of a church. I want the type of a church, watch this, we gauge things for saved people. Amen? At the end of this month, I'm going to preach a salvation sermon. I'm going to preach a message on salvation. I'm going to do it on a Sunday morning. I do that 2 times a year. And salvation comes out in my messages, but I don't preach a whole message on how to get saved. Because I preach to the saved. You understand? Do you realize in your Bible, most of the people that get saved out of church? There's a few that get saved in church. But Zacchaeus, remember, up in a tree? The woman at the well? They get saved out of church, and then we do what? We bring them to church. That's why my philosophy, from as I read the Bible, when we have a church service this morning, it's supposed to be spiritual to help us, to edify us, to exhort us. And if somebody is in there that's lost this morning and doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, yeah, I hope they get saved. But I hope they feel welcome and that we're a friendly church. But if they're lost, I hope they feel convicted. I hope the Holy Ghost of God works in theirs. I can't save anybody. I can't convict anybody of their sin. Here we go. The church is a called out assembly. If I took this, I'm not going to spend much more time on this. Just watch this. Since it is a called out assembly, then if I we're called out from the world to assemble in the church. If I bring the world in the church, then I no longer have a New Testament church. I just have a church. That's why I'm not interested in bringing the world's vernacular. Or I saw some disturbing videos, and I won't go into it, but somebody sent me a link. There was a rock and roll church, you know, seeker sensitive, and they have the rock band up there, praise and worship, whatever you want to call it. And they're singing in that church with their electric guitars and all that. I'm on a highway to hell. Come on, sing it. That's an AC/DC song from when I was in high school. I'm on a highway to hell. They're singing that in church? Excuse me, that's disturbing to me. That group was very openly satanic. They very openly blaspheme church and God and everything else. But you're going to take a song they wrote and put it in church? All in the name of Jesus. I don't think the Holy Spirit's within 10,000 miles of that place. If it is a called out assembly, then you can't bring the world's music in the church, or you were called out from the world, and so don't bring the world with you. That's why we're not supposed to bring the world's dress with it. We're supposed to be different. Amen. Everybody's at a different level, but we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to have the world's music, the world's dress, the world's language, all that stuff. It's very important to understand that. Now, I could take this definition and turn this into a Sunday school lesson just by itself. If you understand this, you understand miles beyond what the average person understands about the local church. Because most people don't even know what it means. Now, let's move on. I already showed you Jesus purchased the blood, the church with his own blood. Can I show you this? Jesus faithfully attended church. Look at Luke 4:16. Go in your Bible. Look at Luke 4:16. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. Just things to think about. And because we live in such a people, there's some people, literally, it's horrible, but they know just enough Bible to get themselves in trouble. Just to trip over. But look at Luke 4:16. Watch this. And he, Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. When I in my Bible, the word custom is underlined. What's a custom? A custom is something you do on a regular basis. Now, the Sabbath was yesterday. That's Saturday. We don't go to church on the Sabbath day, right? We go to church on the first day of the week, Sunday. But Jews observe the Sabbath, no problem. But Jesus' custom was to weekly go to church. And that's why if the object when you get saved is to be like Christ, how can you do that if you miss church? Or if church is not important to you? Jesus shed his blood for it, and Jesus himself faithfully or customarily attended church. We'll call it the synagogue, okay, of the day. You cannot be like Christ. You cannot be a good Christian, right? What's the word Christian mean? Pressed into the image of someone who reminds me of Christ. You cannot be a good Christian unless church is important to you. I love making this statement. As a pastor, as a soul winner, I make this all the time. You can't be a happy Christian out of church. God never designed a saved child of God to be out of the protection of the local New Testament church. God never intended you for that. And if you aren't, if you are not faithful, your marriage is attacked by Satan. Watch this. Your kids. But now, I'm going to go one step further here, and I don't have anybody in mind when I say this. Are you ready? I've been saved 30 years. And when I got saved, now, the church I was raised in, we went one time a week. because that's all the church had it. We went to youth group on Sunday nights, and they only had church one time a week. Then I got saved at age 20 in the Marine Corps. Then I started attending church, and man, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, wow. Now, in Bible college, I couldn't because I worked a job, but I did attend Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I started watching families play with church attendance with their kids. Sometimes they were there, sometimes they weren't. And then I watched those kids grow up. Do you realize everything you do as a parent is transferred to the child? And whatever you did this much, do you understand they are going to do it twice as much? That's the law of leadership. The follower is always behind the leader. So whatever you do in moderation, they do to excess. Well, we never got drunk. We just drank a little bit. Whatever the leader does in moderation, the follower, the one behind them, does more of it. Well, you just miss church a little bit. Then when they get older, the kid graduates from high school, they're not there anymore. And then the parent, I didn't say this is true for kids, all have to make their own decisions. I'm talking about church attendance right now. And then I watch the parents go, literally, their head spinning. They're going, we had them in church. They did. But they were it was never focused. Do you understand? That sends signals to the kids. You cannot play with church attendance. Our kids watch us on a snowy day. I remember hearing one pastor's kid, he said, man, no, he was not a pastor's kid. He was a deacon's kid. He said it was a 4-mile drive to church. One day, this family had 12 kids, right? They said in the pickup, remember the pickups? They only seat 3 people because there wasn't backspace. So they said us as kids, only 6 would fit in the back of the pickup, but it was a 4-wheel drive. He said one day it snowed about 4 feet. He said, but boy, Dad's truck, it would go. So 6 of us hop in the back and Dad drove us to church through the snow. Then Dad drove back. 6 more got in. It left an impression on those kids' minds. We don't miss church. Whatever it takes. You understand? And I'm not talking, okay, we had to cancel church. I think we had to cancel church this year. One time because of the snow in January. Okay? There reaches a point. You understand? But when it's up to the parents, the kids are watching everything they're doing. And then when the kids get older, well, we went once a month, we went twice a month, come on, what's the big deal? Whatever the leader does in moderation, those that are following do in excess. And that's a very important lesson. I know everybody in here isn't a parent, but it is a good thing to know as a leader. Okay, ready? Now, I showed you this. Can we take you to Hebrews? Go to Hebrews in your Bible, more towards Revelation. Go to Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. I'm gonna say it again. Us going over this basic Bible teaching. You say, I already know what the Bible teaches about church. Can you show somebody else? Because in this day and age, trust me, we're needing it bad. Do you understand? Hebrews 10:25. Ready? I hope it's marked in your Bible. Hebrews 10. I'm going to start at verse 24, but verse 25 is what I want to show you. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The man that took me to church, every time he'd talk to a Marine about going to church, he'd always say, have you ever had anybody provoke you? Like, just take, you know, just a little rock and dink, 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 knock it off. Dink. They're provoking you, right? Trying to get your goat. He said, do you know what we do when we come to church? He said, we do the opposite. We provoke each other or try to pull each other to love and good works. Right? Let us love and provoke each other to love. Let's provoke each other to love and good work. We're supposed to pull each other along, encourage each other. Like last week, hey, you coming to the revival this week? Come on Monday night. come in. Oh, man. Oh, you got to work. Oh, well, hey, Tuesday night. Come, you know what I mean? What are they asking me for? They're provoking you. That's a good thing. If it's to a good thing, then yeah, you want that. You want that in church. You don't want nobody caring you're not here, right? Right? Isn't that what people say? Every time my wife is sick and when she can't be here, normally happens about once a year, first thing I get questioned when I get home is, guess what? Did anybody ask about me? Isn't that all of us, our heart cry, right? You want people wanting you in church. And watch this. You want people, did you know everybody here? You mean something to somebody in here. Your smile means something. And when you're not here, I have one family in the church. When they come in, I'm not the first person they're looking for. That's okay. They're doing this. And then they'll come up to me and they'll go, Pastor, so-and-so isn't here. And did you know so-and-so isn't here either? And who are those new people there? I think that's okay. I think that's great. All I'm trying to tell you is you mean something to somebody here. You say, oh, if I don't show up, it's no big deal. I'm telling you, when you're not here, somebody goes, man, I miss so-and-so. I miss so-and-so. God designed it. Now, verse 25 is what I think ought to be marked in your Bible. Ready? Watch this. Not forsaking the assembling, and that word assemble is the same word we get the word church from, not forsaking the assembling or the churching of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Somebody made this statement, Sunday school. Where's Sunday school in the Bible? It's not. Sunday school is about 200 years old. It started with Mr. Raikes over in Britain in the late 1700s, and Sunday school was designed, first of all, in Britain to be a place where kids who were lacking in their education could literally get taught reading, writing, arithmetic, English, that stuff. When you come to America, what we know is Sunday school, where you come to learn the Bible, it started here in America. They took the idea, well, if you could learn reading, writing, arithmetic on a Sunday to get extra teaching, then why don't we start it? Sunday school is only about 200 years old. But doesn't your Bible say we're supposed to meet more? The closer we get to Jesus coming, the more we need to meet. Right? We don't meet as much as the New Testament church. Look in the book of Acts. They met every day. Oh, great! We got to go to church again. However, your Bible teaches you the closer we get to Jesus coming, so much the more. You say, why? Because the days are getting more and more evil. I know the debate is tonight. I'm getting so sick of the media. I'm not for Donald Trump's tape and the lewd remarks he made about a woman 11 years ago. Okay, I have two things to say about that. Number one, he's a lost man. I'm not for how he made his money with the strip clubs and everything else. He's a lost man. I don't expect him to be spiritual. Second of all, he doesn't hold a candle to the shame Bill Clinton put our country through. I don't care with loose zipper or whatever. I remember when Bill Clinton was president, the world was laughing at us. You can put Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky, all that stuff, all that filth. A draft dodging, saxophone playing, whoremonger in the White House. And no, I'm not for what Donald Trump did, and I'm not justifying and saying it's right. But I still think he's 10 times the man Bill Clinton was. And he's far better than Hillary. If Hillary gets in, you say, what are you going to do if Hillary's elected in 32 days or 31 days? I'll probably do the same thing I did when Bill Clinton was elected. I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to weep. If I can find a tree to bang my head on it, I'm going to bang my head on it. Nothing I can do. But am I for everything Donald Trump is and what he stands for? No. I am amazed, though, of all the conservative people he has surrounding him. I'll make that statement. I don't think he's out to destroy America. He's got too many conservative people around him. I'm talking Carson. I'm talking Pence, I'm talking, there's too many conservatives. He does not have the agenda Obama had. So I'm just, I know the debates tonight, please don't miss church for it, okay? However, as we watch how wicked the day is getting, as we watch, God says in your Bible, we're commanded to go to church. Let me just stop right there. Did you know going to church is a command? You say, are you preaching to people that aren't here? No. Let me encourage the people that are here. Did you know that by you being in church this morning, you're obeying God? Did you know that? I'm amazed at how many people, when I teach my converts or people that I get to lead to the Lord, did you know going to church, you are commanded to be in church? Now, I think this, God, I want you here if God wants you here. Amen? Okay, we don't have room for everybody in Mechanicsville. Okay? The auditorium holds 100. However, I want you here if God wants you here. And you are supposed to, if you're not in church here, you're supposed to be in church somewhere. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible teaches it. I'm amazed at how many people, I've taught three people that said, I didn't know going to church was a command. It's a command in your Bible. Okay? Now, one more thing. Let me see here. You know what? I don't mind adding more to this. Let me just end with this. To get saved, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? But to get added to the church, you have to be saved and baptized. Let's end with this. It's just very important to understand. Acts 11, and then we'll shut her down and we'll get ready for the service this morning. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Watch this. Look at verse number 21. Watch this. Now, this is in your Sunday school lesson. You can take this home. But it's very important that you understand. Watch this, and we'll just read it, and then we'll explain it, and we'll shut it down. And I'm at Acts 11, and look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas so that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God, and was glad and exhorted them all, watch this, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Thus far they've been saved and added to the Lord. They've not been added to the church. Watch the next statement. It says here, okay, that's going to make a statement here, verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. That means people were saved. Then watch this, verse 26, it says here, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They churched themselves and taught much people. Watch, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Here's what I'd like you to understand. When you got saved, you were added to the Lord. You were placed in Christ. Positionally, you're in heaven. Practically, down here, you don't get added to the church until you attend church. Somebody said, oh, I'm part of the church. Have you ever joined a church? You're saved. Praise God. I'm glad. That's positionally in heaven. You were added to the Lord. But you're not added to the church till you make the decision to do so when you've been saved and baptized. Just to differentiate, they are the same. Getting saved does not put you in the church. And that's what I was trying to get across to you. Church is going to start in about 10 minutes. God.